My guest today is Rob Reynolds. Rob, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Welcome back to the show after, six years? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
In fact, last time you were on the show, you talked about this new thing you were creating, you had just created. It was called Chocolatey.
Chocolatey.
And, do you remember Chocolatey?
Yeah, I do. It was 2012, so that was Code Mash.
Yes, it was Code Mash.
A long time ago.
And now you're back, and Chocolatey is still a thing.
Chocolatey is still a thing.
And I heard you quit your day job. You're doing.
I quit my day job, and now I just have one boss. Well, many bosses. We call them customers, but yeah.
You built a business around Chocolatey now, right?
We did.
When did that happen?
So we did a Kickstarter in 2014. Before that, so stepping back a little further, for folks not familiar, Chocolatey was created in 2011 when I was looking for something to kind of help with installs and create things, and I wasn't really finding a lot of options out there, and I was also on the NuGet team at the time, and we had a running joke. I don't remember where the joke was, but I think it was at the MVP summit. We had joked about NuGet, that framework that was for .NET developers, mm-hmm. not being a machine package manager, but if it ever was, the packages that were created would not be vanilla NuGet packages, they'd be Chocolatey. So that stuck, and that became the name.
I didn't know that.
What
problem does Chocolatey solve?
So what it does is it's able to manage software. So if I need to get something installed, upgraded, maybe eventually uninstalled, it does that whole process for me very, very quickly, very easily. I'm not reaching out to a website and saying, okay, what download do I need, downloading it, mm-hmm. and then right-clicking, unblocking, and then going through the process of installing the next, right? Not having to do that
anymore. It automates that whole process for you.
It uses PowerShell to automate that whole process. And so you can do that with installers. You can do that with zips. Mm. If you just want to set registry settings, config files, put license files on there, you can do all of that in a way that you can version it with packaging. And that's what Chocolatey is.
All right. And then now you built that into a business.
And now we built that into a business. So
how's that going?
It's going really well. It's going really well. Thank you. In 2014, we set up a Kickstarter because we had significant costs for our community repository. We wanted to be able to meet that. We also wanted to be able to offer features that weren't free to us to offer. And so being able to do additional things with Chocolatey necessitated that pro, that business version, so those commercial options. And so 2014, we set up for a Kickstarter, and I think we got like 51,000. So it was a very successful Kickstarter at the time. We were gunning for about 40,000. It was kind of a kickstart to get these things started. And in 2016, to the people from the Kickstarter, we released those commercial versions. And 3 months later, it was May of last year, we were able to start offering that to everybody else. And fast forward, during that period, I was working basically full-time on Chocolatey, also working full-time for Puppet. So I had two full-time jobs. my wife was really happy in February this year, when I was able to just have one full-time job and concentrate just on Chocolatey.
So excellent.
I always joked that
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I always joked that I would hire employees before I was able to go full-time. It turned out to be true. So
excellent. You were not your first employee.
I was not
your first full-time employee.
No. I was unpaid.
Yeah. So now what's going on? Let's start with the commercial version. So now there's mm-hmm. there's a free version, and the commercial version is it? What do you get extra if you pay for it?
So the free version does give folks a lot. You can create packages. You can have your own internal repositories. You can do all that stuff. You turn towards the pro version when you want a little bit more reliability on the community repository. So the pro version is for individuals.
Okay.
And then there's business versions that are for organizations. And for individuals, a lot of folks are still going to want to use that community repository. It's a little bit more hands-off. So when new packages become available based on community contributions coming in for that, you're able to take advantage of that, right?
Hmm.
And the aspect of reliability is because that repository is in the public. It's a publicly available repository, which means all of that is subject to distribution rights, which means Microsoft would get really upset if the Office 365 packages actually contained the Office 365 binaries reach out and download them at runtime from Microsoft. And so with that dependency on reaching out to those official locations, at runtime, that does present a bit of a reliability, not necessarily with the Microsoft provided tools, because usually those URLs don't change.
Okay.
But other things, like, so those URLs could go away, could change, right? Mm-hmm. And the other aspect is we do have checksumming for security. And so sometimes, like with Google Chrome, that download URL is always the same, right? And so when there's a new version, you have to upgrade that package.
Okay.
The maintainers have to update that package as quickly as possible for that new checksum. And so checksum is just a verification of what the maintainers, what the moderators of the repository expected you to get is what you actually get when it downloads.
Oh, so this is to make sure somebody else isn't spoofing a download site. Is
correct.
That the idea?
So it's not just for the aspect of spoofing the download site, but also, in case that remote site gets hacked or something, right? You get that extra security knowing that the package that was coming down or the package that was downloading that software is still downloading the right software.
Oh, how do you know this?
Because of the checksum in the package. So
okay. This is a routine thing that people, I'll pick, I don't know, FileZilla, for example. It's a tool that I always install on a new machine.
And right,
and they have a checksum, they provide that, and then you're just
validating. So we determine that checksum. That checksum is what gets verified against VirusTotal. So VirusTotal has 50 to 60 antivirus scanners it runs it against.
I see.
And so it's checking that to be sure things are safe. Now, that information is all available openly on the community repository. In the pro version, we'll additionally have a runtime check where we verify that binary is good.
I see.
Right, so that's one of those. And then another thing, going back to that reliability aspect, we have a CDN cache where we're downloading those particular things the packages are downloading. And so if those ever go away, those packages still work for people that have a pro version or above.
Oh,
and
okay.
Using the community.
You're going to keep that forever? If like
maybe,
some
maybe
product,
not.
Some company goes belly up, for example,
yeah,
or some open source library just disappears as they do.
As they do. And we have had a couple of those since we set that in place. And those folks that needed that were able to have that ability to continue using those packages.
Hmm. I think about the setup automation, and I always remember I used to work for a training company. At least 20 years ago, and we used a tool called Ghost, which would basically keep an image of a server. And then there was a guy, there was that one guy that would walk around and just go to each machine and press a button. And he had, Windows 4.0 and the SQL Server was on it, and Visual Studio, whatever was needed by that particular class.
Yeah,
is that the same use case that you're using for?
You can do that. So a lot of folks
for Chocolaty.
So a lot of folks will use something like MDT to set up their provisioning, right, and then deploy that out with SCCM to do that.
MDT is what?
Microsoft Deployment Toolkit.
Okay.
And they use that, and then they will deploy that out, and they'll actually have it using Chocolaty to help get those installations taken care of. And we see that with that. Some folks will use a tool called Packer. That's from HashiCorp. And there's some other tools that create basically Vagrant images or virtual machines or Azure and I want to say AWS images as well. Okay. You can all create with these Packer scripts, right? And a lot of folks will use Chocolaty, among other things, to help build those as well. So it's a lot of unattend, take a machine from nothing to fully ready to go.
Oh, okay. What about parameters? Can you semi-automate an installation? Let's say you want to install it on 50 machines, but everyone has one username or something that they want to set.
Yeah, absolutely. With Chocolaty, you can customize that. We have both install arguments that you can pass directly to the installer in case it supports changing like a license key or something. And then we have package parameters, which allows you to customize, again, per machine. So when you send that out, you could say, username, and then pass in that current username for that. And so that does allow you to customize without having to create a package for each, individual user. And so a couple of other things that you find once you step into that commercial side is we also have keeping that information out of logs. So sometimes you have sensitive information you're going to pass through. You don't want it in the logs, so we have install arguments sensitive.
I see.
And so you're able to pass that stuff through that way as well.
Hmm. How has the free edition, the community edition, evolved over the years?
Oh, wow. So when it was first built, it was completely PowerShell. And the reason for that is I really wanted to learn PowerShell and have a stick that time because I used to spend a lot of time like writing PowerShell. You spend a lot of time with Google or Bing. Bing's your friend, right?
Google's fine.
And so we rewrote it in 2014 and that came out in 2015. And that made it a bit more modular, a lot more maintainable. At the time that we wrote it in PowerShell, things like classes didn't exist, so we were in PowerShell 2, at least compatible with PowerShell 2. It's still very compatible with PowerShell 2, and it's probably going to be that way for a while because until Windows 7, Windows Server 28, end of life, that's pretty much the lowest version that you have, and those are the lowest versions of Windows.
So you need to support that because a lot of enterprises are still using those. Yes. So there's a dependency on PowerShell? When you install Chocolaty, you must have PowerShell?
There is a dependency on PowerShell, so you need PowerShell, and you can install it without PowerShell, but using Chocolaty becomes a little bit more difficult if you don't have PowerShell. So the rewrite was in C#, so it's completely compiled. That gave us security.
Oh, okay.
So we Authenticode sign the binaries, we Authenticode sign all the PowerShell scripts that we still use.
Well, walk me through the process of when I start using Chocolaty. How do I get started?
So one of the things you can do is you can go out to chocolaty.org/install, and it gives you instructions there. And it's, if you're going by command.exe, we have a nice script for you. I'm not going to try to regurgitate that. That one's kind of long.
Okay.
It's like bad, curl scripts, except much
But you can copy
worse.
And paste it from the website.
Yes. Right. And then we have one for PowerShell, which is quite a bit shorter. So it's the IWR. And then that link, and then invoke expression. So pretty small as compared to
That's to install it.
To install it, And so it will download a PowerShell script that's signed that comes from chocolaty.org. On that page, we also recommend that folks would read over that script to make sure that they don't find any issues with it, right? We know it's not malicious, but we want folks to be sure, right?
Sure.
So we want them to check to be sure that they can build trust in these things, right? And the same with using the community repositories. We put a lot of checks and balances into that stuff on the community repository with the moderation of packages, the checks that are automated, being sure that these things install properly and all that. But we want the folks to check over these things, be sure, kind of vet them to be sure that they're good to go.
All right, but once I've installed, now I want to start using it, and I want to automate the installation of, what is it? Does it install? It doesn't install the operating system, it's everything on top of the operating system, right?
Correct.
So if I wanted to install the tools that I use, Visual Studio, SQL Server, utilities like FileZilla, how do I start doing that? Do I write script to do that?
So you can write a script
file, or is that a UI?
You can create a config file that says, here's all the things I want installed, and these are the parameters I might pass each, and I call that a packages config.
Okay.
And you can Choco install that. You could just
so I'm going to open up a text editor and edit this.
You could, you could just go straight to the command line and say Choco install, and then say what those package IDs are,
and that would actually install it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I could go Choco install Google Chrome, and in a matter of moments, it will have reached out and grabbed Google Chrome from the official location, brought it down, verified that checksum, and then installed it silently on that machine or upgraded it.
I see a nice use case for this is when I want to rebuild my machine.
Oh yeah.
And having this created, I think that's an example when the config file would come in handy because then I can rebuild it.
Yeah. So it does allow for
every few months. And I know I'm going to get all these tools, and I've, of course, wiped out all the viruses that I've accumulated over the last 3 months.
Right, other things as well. So
yeah, and all the crap
the machine
in my
run.
Registry and whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How
do I do that, then? Is that to create a config file and then run one command to point to the config file?
You would run one command to point to that config file. Yeah.
That sounds too easy.
And you could actually create your – so if you have, licenses or other things that you know how to automate for each of those things.
Okay.
You can create additional packages and have Chocolaty run those as well. So it's not just about that community repository that's out there. You could have your own private packages that will set up your licenses and stuff for you if you know how to automate that. So, again, it's all PowerShell, right? And so it's just PowerShell. I want a version.
Is there anything that the providers of this software, the tools that are being downloaded and installed, is there anything that they have to do on their end to make it Chocolaty friendly?
Not always. So when these things are available for public download, that's good. When vendors do get involved, some vendors actually will put out their own packages. So JetBrains is a big one that does that. They put out they keep those packages maintained. So when there's a new version, of course, that stuff shows up on the community repository soon after.
And if they don't, then is it more work for the end users? Or how does that work?
So maintainers, package maintainers who aren't always the software vendors, we'll reach out, and when a new version's available, they put it into a package and push it out, and we have tools to automate that. So there's a tool called Automatic Updater that's written by, and I'm going to butcher this name, Miodrag Milik, and he's a community, a long-term community maintainer, and he's part of the Chocolaty Core Community Maintainers team, right? So I have to think about how to say that. But he wrote a tool called Automatic Updater that is just another PowerShell script that's kind of a regex, which will reach out and monitor a page, right? Somewhere where you might have new downloads or new versions, and then it allows you to kind of customize how you would change that package and push up a new version.
I think I see it now. So the tell me if I'm correct here, that a package must exist Chocolaty to work with that particular tool that you want to download and install.
Yes.
And somebody, and sometimes that package is created by the creator of the tool. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's created by some community guy and that wants to be helpful, and maybe sometimes it's created by you and your team.
Right.
Okay.
And so the only time that's not true is when you have the business edition and you're using direct installer. You can point it to a URL. You can point it to an install file. And as long as Package Builder can fully automate that, it's able to install and upgrade directly from the installer itself.
Oh, I see. So if it's a simple case of here's a link to an MSI or an EXE, set up that EXE, download that to your temp file, and then run it.
It will download it. It will generate a package on the fly.
Some generic package that would just work with that pattern.
Not necessarily generic. So we have a tool called Package Builder in the Business Edition, and we also have Package Internalizer I'll talk about in a second. But Package Builder allows me to point Chocolaty. And so when I'm creating packages, I call Choco New, and I give it an ID. And then I go through the process of all the files that are generated and kind of setting up that package for use, right? The other way you can do that in the Business Edition, you can just point it to an installer, an MSI, or a ZIP, and it'll generate a fully ready-to-go deployment in about 5 seconds, so it's extremely fast.
Okay.
It's great for businesses that have, like, you know, we got like 60, 70 apps that we need to get packaged up. They can just point this to an archive of all these installers, and it'll go through and it'll automate all of them. And some things out there, so we say it's about 70%, it's going to be able to fully automate. For everything else, we get a to-do list, so it'll wrap that thing, set it up, and it'll get a nice to-do list telling us the additional steps that we need to do to make that automated. And sometimes it's because it's something that used a custom installer or something, they need to provide those silent arguments. It wasn't able to figure out what the installer
was. Right,
maybe
a wizard that actually asks questions along the way.
Yeah, yeah. And the other is mega installers. We call them mega installers. I don't know what the official term is, but those are like Visual Studio, Office 365, SQL Server. They install a lot of components, and they require that XML file. Package Builder doesn't generate that yet.
Oh, yeah, and often they have a checklist of what do you want to install, what do you want to
I've seen that site. Yeah, it's pretty nice. And then, so you would just add that additional thing in there, and then it would be able to automate the rest of that. Another thing we have is Package Internalizer, and so we see a lot with organizations wanting to reuse packages from the community repository, but they're not necessarily subject to distribution rights because they keep everything internal, right? And so what it does is it actually pre-downloads that package, and it reaches out, looks in the package, it pre-downloads all the internet resources that package needs, and embeds them in the package or puts them somewhere internal, and then it rewrites the packaging to use that instead. So what it's doing is it's making those packages 100% offline and reliable.
Yeah, and maybe freezing a version number too.
And it freezes it.
Yeah. So you mentioned several times chocolaty.org, I think you said. But your T-shirt says chocolaty.io.
It does.
What is the difference?
So chocolaty.io will redirect to chocolaty.org. So the thought process here is maybe eventually we'll move to the IO site just to further define that this is one of those tools that comes about for automation. So we see a lot of sites end in IO that are really used in automation type of things.
Oh, okay. Is that the best place to go to learn more?
So on chocolaty.org, we have docs. So we bring all our docs from the wiki over and make them friendly. We're working on that. So we have really good reference
docs.
We have really good reference. You guys have a fantastic set of documentation. So
it's gotten a lot better over the last year.
A lot of walkthrough docs and narratives and conceptual docs. We're really good at reference docs, and we are working on our walkthroughs, our narratives and our conceptual docs a bit more. So some of that stuff is getting on Gitter. So we have a chat thing you can get on. It's linked from the site, and ask questions, and you'll see a lot of the community be able to respond to those questions. And so a lot of it is asking questions, and somebody's like, oh, yeah, it's right here. So they have navigated those documents and can point people to the right places.
Okay.
Searching documents is sometimes one of those lost arts.
Yes, it is.
It's very difficult sometimes writing not only good documentation, but also making it searchable.
Yeah. If we Is there something you want to cover we haven't?
So some of our roadmap stuff.
What's coming next? What is coming next?
So one of the things that we want to do with Chocolaty is when you create packages, we definitely are liking to create bring up the quality of that. And so one of the things on the community repository we have is the package validator. And so when you push a package up, it actually checks through that package for quality, makes sure that you know you're using the right things, and gives you a nice report at the end telling you, you know, I found these things, you need to make these changes. So we have
what do you mean by the right things?
So if somebody is using .NET Downloader instead of using install Chocolaty package, we consider that anti-pattern, right? Or if they're doing something they absolutely shouldn't do, like putting an email address somewhere in that packaging, putting that on the community repository, we basically tell them, don't do that.
Okay.
And we push it back. So as part of that process of getting a package approved, they would push up a new version of that package, the same version of that package, just new contents.
Okay.
And go through that process of having it checked again until it passes all of these automated checks and it gets to a human moderator that can just catch those last few things that either a computer's not good at or just safety checks, right? So one of those things is that package validator going through. We want to bring that back to Chocolaty itself. So when you actually do Choco Pack, when you package it up, it actually goes through all those checks. Another thing
that's cool, that's coming,
okay, is we're going to be adding WSA support, APEX support, so we know we need to get into those areas as well.
And WSA is what?
Windows. Yeah, you're putting me on the spot there.
Okay,
I'll have to look that one up.
But what does it do?
When I'm on like Windows Nano or I'm using those marketplace apps that I get from the Windows Store, being able to install or sideload those things,
okay,
using Chocolaty to do that.
Okay.
And so I could automate that aspect as well.
I see.
So we just see folks that will use Chocolaty a lot for Win32 apps, and we're trying to bring the ability for folks that also use both Win32 and those APEX type of apps.
I see.
Bringing all that to them. Speaking of Windows Nano,
that'd be a Windows Store application.
Windows Store application.
It used to be Metro.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's had a lot of names.
Okay.
And so that support, we're also adding Windows Nano support, which we'll be adding in 2018 with the community repository. One of the things that we've been exploring for a few years now, trying to find a way to do that better, is more traceability. So if somebody pushes up a package, how do we trace that it was actually from that person? And that's been done on other repositories for years, and it's done through PGP signing, GPG signing.
Okay.
So that's one thing that we'll be adding in to bring a little bit more trust to the community repository.
Right.
So the biggest thing in that is just trust and safety. We know that organizations definitely are building their own internal stuff, and they're doing everything that way. So it's not necessarily something for them as much as it is for somebody that's just wanting to use Chocolaty and wanting to feel safe doing that.
Sure. Right?
Just giving them a little bit more trust in that.
Excellent. Rob, thank you so much.
Thanks. I don't always use technology, but when I do, I like to include my friends.